And welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Well, I am doing pretty well. How are you today?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, I don't think it's a big secret that when we tape episodes, we do a couple of them in row, since you're so busy doing, you know, morning edition.
Well, and you're busy.
And I'm busy presidenting up in Southwestern University. So I just got to say that it was so distracting in our last episode because I kept, at the corner of my eye, I was, because this is, we're in your studio here at the KUT studios, beautiful studio, and there's David producing. And I'm looking out the window and there was a woman cleaning the glass.
Oh.
And up and down. And I thought she was this gesticulation.
Oh.
I thought she was kind of get my attention. And I was trying not to look at her throughout the entire episode. And yet, so if the last episode was not good, I apologize. But there was a person out there that seemed like she was trying to get my attention.
Okay. Well, it was funny because the last episode we were talking about how a teacher could keep the attention of her students. Maybe if she just waves her arms in the
air, that would do it.
That will keep their
irony.
Attention.
I think there's irony in everything you and I do together. So
yes.
There you have it. Anyway, that's how I'm doing today. So now it's better because I think the window is clean.
Okay.
Yes.
The window is clean. Good. We can proceed. Well, it's interesting. So this the topic for this episode came out of my experience when I was trying to think up topics for us to discuss.
Oh, interesting.
So I always set aside a period of time to do research and read around and take listener emails when it's time to come up with a new list of topics.
Right.
But on this particular day, when I was looking ahead at topics for us, I had this really long list of other stuff to do. All of it that felt like it needed to happen, like, in the same day. And so I'm thinking,
oh,
I've got, you know, we have this taping coming up. Mm-hmm. We've got some new episodes to do. We heard from some listeners. I'm getting a text from a listener. I'm getting an email. But then I'm like, I have these other things to do for my job. And I started thinking, I can't think of anything for us to talk about. And then I thought, wait a minute. Let's talk about prioritizing. Because,
perfect.
You know, what it made me think of were those days, either I was thinking of myself as a student, but of course also teachers and staff members are going to encounter the same thing where you've got homework in all your classes, and you've got rehearsal for whatever.
That's right.
And you've got maybe family obligations, or you are a volunteer. You know, all of these things that sort of pile up. And I thought it would be interesting to talk about prioritization and how people can figure that out. I mean, sometimes it's obvious.
Right.
Like, if something has to happen at a certain amount of time, you know, you've got to sign some papers and the bank closes at 5 o'clock and it's 4:45. Well, that
but
becomes
that's easy.
A priority.
But that's easy, right? That's
right.
An easy
what about
thing.
The harder things, though?
Well, first of all, what a wonderful insight. And I just want to say, it just shows you how amazing you are, that while you were in the thick of that, you said, well, that itself can be a topic. I think that's brilliant.
Well, thank you.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. We will always find ourselves in states where we're overwhelmed. And the question is, how do you move off what could be an intellectual and emotional kind of gridlocked state where you basically just lock up and say, okay, I can't do any of it, rather than starting to think about, as you're suggesting, how does one thoughtfully go down and say, here's what has to happen first, here's what has to happen second, and so forth. You know, for me, I have to say that, you know, in my role as a president at Southwestern University, you know, there's things coming at me from all different directions, large and small. And what I do is I just look at them, and if I can dispense with it instantly, I just do. And that could be including just literally forwarding on to the right person, because I might not be there. You know, everyone thinks, oh, let's go right to the top. Well, the top, you know, the top is very narrow. It's because there's nothing there. So, you know, you have to, there are people who have these responsibilities. So kind of just taking care of that. And then So that gets a lot of the stuff off your desk immediately. And then there's stuff that you just have to say, I can't worry about that. That is just a distraction. And that, I think, is the ultimate in prioritizing, which is saying that that's essential. This is exactly, you know, why I exist. And this is just noise. And the noise you have to let go. And sometimes that could be something that's upsetting, like you read something and you get mad about it, or you get have an emotional reaction, but maybe a positive emotional reaction, but you have to sometimes just put those things off and say, that is not what I'm supposed to be doing. And so dismissing that and then spending the bulk of your time on that which is the essential features of whatever the mission is that you're up to. And so I find myself spending the most amount of my thinking time anyway on that which is the most important. And within that context, they do come in ordered things. Like sometimes I have to write a letter for the Southwestern Alumni Magazine. And so that has to be carefully written. So that takes some time. There might be something really important, like returning a phone call to a really large philanthropic donor. And so what do I do first? Well, that's where you have to kind of balance and make sure that you're not saving everything for the last minute. So you write a draft of that letter and put it aside and say, okay, I've made progress on that. So the idea of just pushing a little bit forward at a time, and then they slowly fall off your desk because they're done, that's a way to proceed.
So one thing that you said in that answer that I think is interesting and helpful for me is to think of any particular thing as in pieces. So for example, you said, write a draft of the letter to the alumni, set that aside, and then maybe then you go call the philanthropic donor, take care of that, and then come back to the letter.
Exactly.
And maybe take a second look.
Yes.
Because I think sometimes, you know, especially if I think back to when I was in school and doing homework, I was like, okay, I've got to finish all my math homework right now before I move on to something else.
Right.
So I would be there, and those last three math questions, I'm like, I can't get this. But right. I would stare at them like the answer was going to somehow emerge from the pages. Whereas maybe if I had said, you know what, I think I'm kind of done now. I'm going to go read some Hamlet.
Iterate, right.
And then I'm going to come back to this.
Exactly.
So sort of divide and conquer.
And we talked about this, you know, a few episodes ago where the idea of maybe having classes be shorter, bite-sized pieces, that's how we should be working on everything. Just do something for a little bit. And then if all of a sudden you've lost your kind of mojo on that thing, then just put it aside. And don't say, well, I'm going to push right through that. Say, okay, enough of that. Let me do something else. Often that phone call might inspire you when you come back and work on the letter. I mean, I found things like that something I do next actually informs what I was doing before. And I go back and I revise and edit and iterate.
I just have to write down the thing that I was doing before so I don't forget to come back to it, because I might forget.
Oh, stop it.
Now, you know, one thing that you said, though, that is challenging for me, and I think this trips me up a lot in prioritizing things, is I have a hard time completely disposing with the things that either don't really need my attention, or I love the word to use, which is noise. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time turning down or turning off the noise because I feel like, nope, this is my list and I've got to attend to all of it, when the reality is maybe I really don't.
Right. There's two things here. First of all, this is something I learned early on in my time at Southwestern University, which is the art of letting go. And that took me probably about a year and a half to really begin to embrace. First of all, to discover and then embrace, and then over the intervening years, practice that if something is not what we should be doing, whether it's our job or just family or whatever, if it's something that we should not be doing, we just have to say no. This, you know, someone else is supposed to take out the trash, or someone else is supposed to wash the dishes, or someone else is supposed to, you know, drive folks to soccer practice, whatever it is, and that is not my thing right now, and so I have to let it go. That's one thing. The other one is the emotional side, where I have to confess to you and to our listeners, I'm not great at, which is when, you know, in my case, someone's unhappy about something, a circumstance, and it could be a parent, it could be a student, it could be a faculty member, whatever. And there's nothing I can do about their unhappiness. The decision or the situation is is the way it should be. And yet someone is just not happy with that. You know, with these leadership roles that you and I have, we can't always make people, you can't always make people happy with the news. Every morning edition can't make people be all giddy with happiness. You're giving the news no matter what.
Right.
And the same thing when you're leading a complex organization, there are things that you're going to do that will not always make everyone happy. Letting that go and not be distracted by that, and I hate to call it noise because these are real feelings of real people, but it's just there's nothing you can do about it. Letting that go is a greater challenge for me than saying, oh, that's someone else's job. Give that to so-and-so. And so I still struggle with that.
Well, that's understandable. I mean, it's human beings and human interaction.
I hate thinking of myself as human. So well, that's my problem.
I know you're a math machine or whatever, but
exactly.
Well, all right, math machine. Let's do
you and your
our
segues.
New puzzler, which is always a high priority of mine and yours too. I know.
Exactly.
What is the new puzzler?
Well, under this new theme I have of trying to give you slightly more challenging
yes.
ones, this is not as challenging as 2 weeks ago.
Okay,
but this is still a challenge, and I love doing this. Since we're in the medium of imagination, this is a visual.
Oh, wonderful.
Puzzler.
I love those.
So I need you to imagine a thickened plus sign, or you could think of it like a red cross, you know, the Red Cross
yes.
kind of
okay.
logo. Or you could imagine thinking about a square where you take the four corners and kind of fold them in so you have this thickened red cross.
Okay.
Like think of the Red Cross logo, you
yeah.
see? So it's not what you've drawn.
Okay.
That's a plus sign. You got to thicken it.
I'm thickening it.
Much thicker.
Like that?
Yes. And
okay.
And then that's now that looks like a red cross.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Now you got it.
All
right. Okay. Right.
Keep going.
So in fact, you could almost think of it as 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm looking at your picture. 5 squares where 3 of them are going down and then
yep.
2 of them are flanking the middle square.
Yeah.
You follow me? That's a way
I
of
do.
Thinking. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So that's, okay. Now. All right. So now I want you to cut that shape.
Okay.
Just using 2 straight lines. I know I've got to specify because you'll
okay.
start curving lines.
Right.
So 2 straight lines.
Okay.
To cut that red cross into the largest number of pieces possible.
Okay.
So, for example, if you cut kind of in the center horizontally and you cut in the center vertically, then you would have 4 pieces,
okay.
right?
4
little L's.
But you want more than that.
Well, if you can get more, maybe
right.
you can't get more. And so the idea is, what's the largest that you can get? That,
okay.
This is a question about you. So what's the largest you can get?
Okay.
And that is the puzzle.
Very interesting.
You didn't even draw 2 lines.
Well, because I have an idea, but I'm just going to let it percolate for a while.
Look, well, you have a whole week to percolate.
I have a whole week to percolate. All right.
Do people know what percolate means anymore? I mean,
those old coffee pots.
Yes, exactly.
That
right. That
would
then go plunk, 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 plunk with the little glass top. I don't think
yeah.
people know.
I guess I should say I'll let it brew.
Yes.
Is that more?
I say let's let it marinate.
Marinate. Yes, I like that one too.
People still understand that.
They do. They do.
But percolate. That's great. Our young listeners are like, what's percolate? But that's what you want to do.
Well, and Ed, as we wrap up this episode,
please.
I do want to ask about one more thought I had related to prioritization. So a thing that I struggle with in prioritizing, I know I did in school, is I would do what I wanted to do first. Or like I would do what I like best first. Or like I would do the homework for my favorite subject first. So that then when my energy was waning and time was getting short, I was left with the stuff that I didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
So how... I'm assuming that's not a good prioritization practice.
Well, first of all, everyone's different, and I think it's great to follow your own tastes. And so I don't think there's a correct or incorrect answer. I will suggest, though, that when I talk to students who are about to take an exam, I will tell them, I'll kind of pick your strategy, actually. I use what you suggest, which is the first thing you do. So, you know, you take a, like, let's take a math exam, since that's what I, you know, so it's a big packet of paper, right, stapled together. In the upper left corner. Why is it always the upper left corner?
I don't even know.
Okay. And then, so then you start doing this, right? And the diligent student starts with question 1 and pushes
and just,
right through to mm-hmm. question 10, right? And I tell them that is not the way to take an exam. And not just in math, but in any discipline. If you, or in anything beyond school. If you're given a task, the first thing I suggest you do is read through or understand the entire task. So read all 10 questions. Read them, boom, 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 boom. Don't even just read them. Now, you might make little notes like, oh, here I've got to use a fun fact that I remember, or here this might be useful. So kind of brainstorm, make little notes in the margin if you want, but read all 10 questions. Therefore, your subconscious will be percolating with those things. And then go back. Don't start at one. Do the easiest one first. That might be 7 for you. It might be 3 for me. And then do the next easy, next easy, next easy. Those you whip off, you build confidence, you feel good about life, you feel like you've made progress. And the last bit of time on that exam should be spent on the hardest questions for you. And so in some sense, your advice, I think, is good, which is do the fun ones, the easy ones, the ones that you like first, and then push off the last ones. Because if you end up looking at question one, and that's your hardest one, you might spend 45 minutes on that and never get to the rest of the exam.
Right, and then you're going to feel bad about the whole thing.
Well, and then you fail.
Right.
So just do the stuff you can do, and then at the very end, work on the stuff that's the greatest challenge. By then, your subconscious has already been working on that a little bit, could even help you in the end.
Well, Dr. Ed Berger, thank you for helping us. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu. And you can keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org and wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Jennifer Staton, KUT News.